Jaws Pinball finally launched.
Finally.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Looney Tunes also launched.
Finally.
Pedretti to start building remakes as well.
Finally.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Houston. I'm the editor of Pinball Magazine, and I'm joined by...
Finally joined by... me, Martin A., the editor of Pinball News, and welcome to this month's Pincast, where we are looking back at all the excitement that's happened throughout December 2023 and the first few days of January 2024.
Yes.
And we deliberately delayed this recording so we could include the events that have just taken place over the past few days, more of which shortly.
Yeah, I was going to say, which events are you talking about?
Well, obviously, we're talking about...
Let's sink our teeth in it.
Right. Okay, I'll bite. Yeah, go on then.
So first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to all our listeners.
I was basically saying that to our listeners, but to you as well, Martin.
Oh, well, I don't hope you're saying it to me. Oh, my goodness. Outrageous. Yes, Happy New Year, everyone, one and all, and let's hope 2024 proves to be as positive and exciting a year in the pinball world as 2023 was.
Yes. Oh, that was very exciting indeed. We had so many game launches and so many at the same time.
And new manufacturers and...
If you want to catch up on that, you can listen to all our previous episodes on Spotify and other platforms as well. But we're not going to buck you with that. We're going to dive into the latest news.
We're not going to do a review of 2023 like some other...
Well, it could be very entertaining anyway. So I'll be listening anyway. But
yes, you were saying.
Let's just stick with December and the first week of January, where although Spooky Pinball was first announcing two new titles, we'll get to that in a bit, and we start with Stern Pinball, where we have a lot of news to cover. Starting with the reveal and launch of Jaws, designed by Keith Elwin.
Yeah, which was launched today, or yesterday, is probably by the time you listen to this, because we're recording this late into the night on the launch day. And I don't say it was a chaotic launch. It was a well-planned launch program of events.
Yeah,
but as always happens with Stern Pinball launches, it didn't quite go to plan.
Well, there was they stuck to the plan, but there were leaks ahead of that.
Well, even then they don't, because yes, there were leaks from the moment that they put out their teaser trailer, which was just saying, was it saying hunting soon or biting soon or something? I can't remember what it was. Whatever the latest phrase was,
yeah.
And. With an announcement that they would be having Shark Week, where they would be revealing details of each of the three models of the Jaws game over a series of days throughout the week. And then, of course, when it all comes to it, they announce all the details of all the models on the first day.
Well, some images of all three models, but they will still be revealing the up-close detailed images of the Premium and the Pro later this week, and the Limited Edition, which is the most expensive model to purchase. That was completely revealed today, including at least two videos, a trailer, and one with comments by George Gomez and Keith Elwin and a couple of other people from the design team, saying how incredibly proud they are of this game, which, of course, is understandable. And it is an interesting looking game. I have to give credit to Keith Elwin and his team for this game, especially considering I know that Jaws has been a theme that has been suggested by pinball enthusiasts for years that a pinball manufacturer should make. I never thought of it as a strong theme.
No,
personally, no. And also because it's probably not my type of movie. And apparently there's more pinball machines based on movies that are really not my type, but we'll get into that more later.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jaws is a, 1975
Five,
movie,
yes.
I think,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're looking at something that's 50... almost 50 years old, will be next
year.
Yeah,
but it's a classic, and we had several, follow-ups?
Oh, yeah, many of those, yeah. And this game is based on all of them, apparently, not just the original, based on all four Jaws movies.
Yeah, or at least it has footage from all those movies.
Yeah, I think, and mode names and things like that are included as well. So anyway, it was launched today at midday Chicago time, and as we know, three models: Pro Premium LE, LE limited to 1,000 units. I don't know; I suspect they didn't all sell out straight away. Partly, I would imagine because of the leaks that took place a couple of days earlier, which didn't exactly present the game in the best light possible.
Right.
I think in the actual pictures which have come out now, it looks a lot better, and the video play gameplay and the description of the game and the feature list looks far more impressive than it did originally.
Right.
So as often happens when games are leaked, this is why we don't cover leaks, because
we cover them, but
we don't publish leaked images or videos just because they are not necessarily representative of the game. They can give a false impression, falsely good or falsely bad.
Yeah, but we still report that there are leaks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because that's
part of the industry news. Yes.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So.
Yeah, anyway. We've got the game today.
So pricing of the game is unchanged compared to Stern's previous game, Venom. Which means you can get or MSRPs, I should say, for Pro Edition is US dollars $6,999. So I'm just going to round it off. Okay, $7,000, yes. Right?
Right.
So premium, $9,700 minus one. And the limited edition you can get for $13,000. Unchanged to Venom. And allow me to jump in here right away that apparently during a distributor meeting, Stern indicated they will only be running limited editions at the start of a game, or they will not be doing a second run of limited edition games of a specific title.
Again, like they have in the past.
Yes, like they have in the past. Apparently, there were quite a few complaints, understandably, from possibly distributors as well as people who bought a game and saw them devaluate because another limited edition came out.
Yes.
So from now on, if Stern is doing a rerun of a specific title, it's only going to be either the Pro and or Premium models. And interestingly, Stern also indicated that they are looking into not only Spike 2 system games, but also Elder Dot Matrix machine from their catalog of previous games, which could indicate that we might see a Wheel of Fortune.
At last!
Yeah. For example, or... I don't know.
WWE?
Yeah. Who wouldn't want that one? But I tend to think that we don't have to look any further back than, let's say, Aerosmith, which was the first game with an LCD, I suppose, from Stern. I don't see them...
I don't know. I can imagine redoing a Tron, for instance.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, let's put it differently. I don't think we should be looking into games prior to 2010.
Right. Okay.
I mean, AC/DC I can still see, yeah, like 2012, 13. Possibly Metallica.
Yeah.
But
Iron Man, maybe.
If they would be doing a a rerun of a Dot Matrix game. So I'm assuming they're not doing it as a Dot Matrix game, but they're going to put in an LCD.
Good question. If they do decide to go back that far, it'd probably be cheaper for them to emulate the display on a Dot Matrix on an LCD, so it looks like a Dot Matrix.
Right.
Still okay. The same artwork.
That could be an option. Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's what they do for the service menu, isn't it?
Okay. So we're drifting off anyway.
Yeah. Speculation.
Speculation, and it's Shark Week. We should be talking about Jaws.
Oh, indeed, I thought we were.
Well, okay, yeah. So, and with Jaws, there's news to report that we're also reporting. So,
yeah. So anyway, the game itself then seems to have been well received. I think since it has been properly released, there are some interesting mechanisms on there. Obviously, the Pro model has a lot of it taken out, a lot of the best parts removed, to make it cheaper and more operator friendly and to fit with Stern's business model. But it still has the moving shark fin drop target, which is a new feature. I don't think we've seen that before on any game.
It's an elevated mic on a stick.
It is, but it actually drops below the playfield when you hit it, so it doesn't end up blocking any shots.
Yeah.
Which is a good idea.
I said elevated. I should say further developed.
Yes, that's right. Yes, fine. Evolved, maybe.
Evolved. That's the word I was looking for. Yes. Thank you. Sorry, English is not my native language.
No, nor mine. Yeah. Okay. So it's got that. Originally, when I saw it, I didn't like the blue playfields, the light blue playfield. I don't think I liked any games which have got light blue playfields.
Well, they could have made it mud blue. I mean,
I know it's meant to be the sea, and it's a tricky one. But traditionally, light blue games haven't appealed as much as more.
You say no to Baywatch.
Well, funnily enough, I did. Yeah. But I think the mechanism they put into the limited edition and the premium of the boat, which is then pushed up by the shark rising out of the playfield, looks great. Everybody was kind of expecting the shark to be able to shoot the ball into the shark's mouth so it would swallow it.
No, not the case.
No, that doesn't happen.
Probably, I'm sure we'll see animations of a ball, a shark swallowing a ball or spitting out a ball. I can imagine something like that. At least that's what you expect, right?
Yeah, quite, yeah. Because, why have the shark there and then hit it with the ball if it's just going to then disappear again when you do that? But
I'm surprised we haven't seen an image of a floating pinball. Or how odd would that be with the shark below it about to eat it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. The premium and the LE have an upper playfield based on the Orca boat, so that's got some interesting shots on it as well. Keith has certainly included a couple of horizontal spinning discs. One lower down next to the boat, which is the fishing reel, and one at the top, which is the steering wheel for the boat. And the top one, I think, gives out different awards depending on where it lands, which is a nice feature. And also, there's a lot going on. It's a four-flipper game on the Premium and the LE, three-flippered on the Pro, because it doesn't have the upper playfield with the flipper. Other than that, I think most of the other reductions have been sort of fairly cosmetic. Like there's a house, there's a boat shed at the back, which is a physical model in the Premium and LE, and only a plastic in the Pro. One thing which did strike me when I first saw the Pro was that they've taken out the upper mini playfield. They don't seem to put anything much in its place.
No.
It's kind of like a big plastic there that covers over that whole area. There's no other shots or anything.
Yeah, it's a bit of an empty corner, I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, especially if you've seen the limited edition.
what could be there.
Yeah, yeah. So
otherwise, it's just things like drop targets being changed to stand-up targets. And it's a nice return of the ball save lane in, on the right hand side, on the right out lane.
Yeah.
The ball can come down, hit a rubber post, or hit a rubber on a post, I should say, and bounce back in through a one way gate into the in lane, which is a nice feature. And both in lanes have got stop posts, pop up stop posts that hold the ball while a mode is being announced.
Yeah,
it's quite a chance to actually look at the screen.
Yeah, and this probably is the first PG shark I've seen in a while on the pro model.
PG, it is a very friendly, happy looking shark.
Yeah. So and that caused quite a few laughs online. I've seen.
Did it? Oh right.
Yeah. So some people were really like expressing they were laughing out loud when they saw the images or the photos of the shark. Coming through the shark cage, which is the replacement for the center boat mechanism on the pro model.
It just almost looked like a dolphin, I have to say. It looks like he's smiling at you. Which is probably a bit unfair. It's only from certain angles, and others it looks more... more vicious, but
I call it PG because it probably, if it looks too scary, I mean, I'm not sure whether that would be family friendly for people who have little children, you know. And then,
well, you say that, and there's a big bucket of blood swinging around on.
and we also seen Walking Dead and what have you. So
well, and one of the games we're going to be reporting on a little bit later today.
As yeah, well, exactly.
In this podcast,
which is a family game, by the way.
Is it? Okay. Well, it's about a family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway. So yes, as far as the artwork goes, the Pro and the Limited Edition both feature the sort of fairly iconic movie poster artwork of somebody swimming along on top of the water and a shark coming up from underneath them as a back glass image, which is fairly plain. I'm pleased to say the Premium has much nicer rendering of a scene from the movie where the shark is attacking the boat. And I think, generally speaking, the reactions I've seen so far, I've suggested that people like the Premium artwork, both the cabinet and the back glass, better than either the Pro or the LE.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because it's custom artwork for the game, rather than just being sort of standard movie promotional stuff.
Right. Then still... the standard movie promotional stuff is what the people...
Well, some people want it, but...
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. There'll be plenty of that on the screen, I'm sure. Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that with all the upgrades the limited edition has so far, Stern hasn't offered distributors or basically buyers of the game... some way to customize the game with different translights or whatever you, so they can basically choose whatever they want.
Yeah,
have a few options available and pick one from those, so you can basically customize your own game.
Yeah, maybe that's something that'll be coming along down the line. But the LE backgrass, of course, is a mirrored. Rendition of it, and has this special foil, reflective foil, printing on the side of the cabinet.
Yeah, and still, if people prefer other artwork, then if that becomes available as an option, then why not?
I'm sure there'll be plenty of third-party sellers offering alternative backglass artwork for that game.
Right.
Just as they do for every other game.
Yeah, so it's also important to know mention that one of the original actors from the movie, Richard Dreyfuss, has recorded custom call-outs.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, although the game's artwork only seems to include two of the three key actors.
The other one was Ethan, right?
Roy Scheider. Doesn't seem to be on the artwork, so I don't know. Don't know whether I'm guessing he'll be in the movie clips that are on the screen, but why he's not included in the artwork, I don't know. maybe a licensing issue there or something else. Yeah. But it did seem a little bit of an omission when they got so much other stuff there. They got stuff from all four movies included in the game.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay, so anyway, this game is going to be appearing at, first of all, at the CES show, which is in, I think it's in Las Vegas, as usual. Okay, that will be there in a few days' time, and Stern have their own stand there. They're not teaming up with anybody else, they're on stand number, get ready for this, 16,254.
Wow.
So hopefully you don't have to go up the previous 16,253 to get to them. And and after that, we're hoping they're going to be at the EAG International Show in London, which is about 11 days away from the date we're recording this.
Yes. And we both hope to be there.
Yeah.
Martin will be there for sure. And I'm still looking at whether I can combine it with other private obligations that I have to address.
Okay, sounds very mysterious, but okay.
And none of your business.
Exactly, none of my business. Yes, they're private. Oh, they wouldn't. Anyway, so that's one. That's the main news from Stern for this this month and a bit.
But there's so much more.
There is. Yeah. Well, as you know, Stern moved factory fairly recently, back in the start of October, I believe it was, and Jonathan was lucky enough to be on the factory tour, for the new building, and
it's huge.
Yeah, gave us his feedback on that in our look back at the October month.
Yeah, but if you don't want to take my word for it, now you can actually take a look inside the factory yourself, because Stern published a factory movie on how the move of the factory from one building to another was done, and it gives you quite a good look on how they set up the new factory.
Yeah, and also kept the old factory working up until the very last minute, and to minimise the downtime between stopping working in one and starting working in the other.
Right, and what I found interesting to see is when we had the factory tour in October, when they were already there for a month or so. At the beginning of when you enter the office area through the main entrance, so to speak, you enter an area with a lot of cubicles. They were all empty, and in the video now, they're all filled with there's lots of people working there. So that was quite interesting for me to see. Like, because I was wondering, are you getting rid of this or is it going to stay in? And it's all in use. Hmm. So they got lots of people working in this cubicle area now.
God, it makes you wonder where they all were when you were there, because the old factory was closed at that point. The new factory was up and running, but they hadn't occupied those particular desks or cubicles.
I have no idea.
Well, we'll try and find out what was going on there. But
It wasn't the only video Stern published. And
it wasn't.
No, aside from the Jaws trailers and what have you, there's now also a making of Godzilla video.
Yeah, remember that game?
Yeah, I think it's designed by the same designer as Jaws.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that must have been a while ago then. Yeah. I wonder what took them so long to produce that video.
I have no idea.
Oh, anyway, if you want to know how they made Godzilla, then you can go to YouTube, the Stern Pinball YouTube channel, and it's also available through their website as well, if you go to the game section and look at the Godzilla game.
Right. Now, here's a bit of news that you probably better...
We covered this in the past, about Stern Pinball putting some of their games in the training area for an American football team called the Fighting Illini, who we've never heard of, but I'm sure if you're in the area, you probably have. Anyway, those the games that they were playing have now been auctioned off. There was... a Foo Fighters premium, and there was a Venom premium as well that were put in there, so very recent titles.
I'm sure that the number of bits will indicate how popular these fighting Illini American football teams are.
Well, maybe could have done with a bit more publicity then, because the Foo Fighters got three bids and sold for $9,500 plus buyer's premium plus tax. Bearing in mind the price of a new Foo Fighters is premium is only $9,500 plus tax, so you're paying more than a brand new one for it having been played by the team.
Once,
I say that. I mean, we don't even know if they ever played it, but we assume they did. And the Venom Premium only had two bids, and that sold for $9,600, which is actually slightly above the new price. I suppose $9,699 is the new price. But then that was plus buyer's premium and tax, so it's going to end up costing more than a new machine.
So to waste these 5 minutes of your time.
Yeah, anyway, proceeds from the auction benefit 8 of the football players on the team as part of their name, image, likeness program to help empower student athletes on and off the field, it says.
Yeah.
So there you go. All power to you.
So what are we looking at? Like $19,000?
You are. I guess there's a seller's premium as well. So yeah, probably about 18.
Okay. Now I'm not sure. And that's going to be divided over
eight players.
So we're looking at
about $2,000 each.
Wow, that's going to take them a real long road, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, that's 2,000 like more than nothing. So
sure. Yeah, okay.
And that's a generous move by Stern, anyway.
It sounds to me like a publicity stunt, and I don't see what the fuzz is all about. But sorry, American football. Well, I'm in Europe, so
yeah,
it's not a big deal here. We never understood that game, so
I probably never will.
No.
Anyway. Moving on from that, before we end up getting banned from the back.
It's about the same as if we tell you that we put a pinball machine in a soccer player's locker room, and now we're auctioning it off, and everybody in America will be like, so what?
True. Well, yeah. Still, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. So, If we donated them ourselves, I think we probably want to mention it. But anyway, that wasn't the only news from Stern either, because
news either, but still, okay. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, news with in inverted commas then. Okay, because
more important news. Let's go there.
Well, certainly for those of us in Europe, because Stern have announced the appointment of Lord Dortent, I should say, as the European Marketing Operations Manager. And that's a position that's located in Amsterdam, not too far from yourself, Jonathan.
Yeah, so that means that Stern now has an office in Amsterdam. Have you thought about that?
Mm. Yes, although you could be working from home. So we don't.
It's still a Stern office in.
Yeah, they have a permanent employee, at least.
Right. So the press release says that Lord will be working with distributors, dealers, and operators on brand new marketing initiatives, including brand new pinball events. Woohoo! Ooh. In Europe, that is, of course. Lord will expand and develop pinball entertainment in new markets. And if you're wondering, who is this Lloyd Dortent? Anyway, he recently worked for Siemen Gaming, which I think is in Belgium, as a sales manager / director. So, since we are journalists and we take our job seriously and report serious news, unlike the news that we just reported.
That's serious.
I reached out to Doug Score, who is in charge of overseas sales, I believe, at Stern. If I'm doing his position short, I apologize for that, Doug. Doug was kind enough to get back to me, because I was basically asked to him, like, is Lloyd Dortent reporting to you? and whether he could tell us any more. Yes, he is. He is reporting to DocScore. Mm-hmm. His role is marketing, but Europe only. He will be working with operators and making them more knowledgeable about Insider Connected, helping in getting more locations set up with pinball and leaderboards. He's also going to build out the Stern Army program in Europe, which so far I don't think there is any. So that's easy to do. He will be creating launch party locations, or if he's not creating them, at least he will be teaming up with a party that's helping organize them, I suppose. He will be working with dealers to make them stronger in marketing Stern products, build out a few pinball events and make them stronger. And we have talked about this with Doug. We mentioned we had off-the-record meetings while we were at Pinball Expo. DocScore was one of them. And we knew about how Stern is looking to expand into Europe, and this is the official announcement of that. And last but not least, Lloyd will be on the search for locations that would make great pinball / Insider Connected locations. So, and he's still looking. He's looking for large tournaments in Europe, where Stern would like to present themselves to the pinball community. So that's quite a extensive list of tasks for Lloyd to take on.
Yeah, it's going to be kept busy with all that.
He's going to be traveling a lot, I suppose.
Yeah, or at least getting in contact with people from around Europe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, it'd be interesting to see which locations want to become part of the Stern Army program, and also host launch parties, because it'd be good to have some Stern backing to the launch parties that are held, that are currently being held across Europe for their new titles, including Jaws, of course.
Right, yeah. And, of course, we look forward to meeting Lloyd at the upcoming EAG show in London. I suppose he will be there.
You'd expect him to be there, yes, absolutely. Yes.
So congratulations on his new position, Lloyd, and we look forward to getting acquainted.
Indeed. Well, just before Christmas, though, Stern were very busy pushing their range of toppers that they have recently been producing. We mentioned about those earlier.
Yeah, like Black Knight 1.
Yeah, indeed, and Mandalorian, House of Horrors, Avengers, Infinity Quest, and Rush. They were suggesting all these toppers would be the ideal Christmas gift for those of you with presumably thousands of dollars to give as gifts.
Yeah,
so, nice that these toppers were all available, apparently, or were available before Christmas, and I'm sure that given what we were saying earlier about the intention to produce the add-ons for their titles in a more timely manner, we should be seeing some for Jaws fairly soon.
Yeah. So now, speaking of toppers, and
You're not jumping too far ahead, are you?
No.
Okay.
Earlier I mentioned Stern's briefing to distributors when it comes to the release of Jaws, and one of the things also mentioned was that Stern is trying to reduce the lag between a new game's announcement and the accessory launches for that same game. Which has in some cases been over a year. And so they're looking to shorten that. So I suppose that's good news. And then we'll just have to wait and see how well they are able to do that.
Yeah, you would think they'd be able to produce those in a more timely manner. Yeah.
Accessories also includes toppers, I would say.
Yes. Toppers, custom shooter rods, artwork, interior artwork, side blades, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah. Plenty of them to add, and I'm sure they want to want to get in early so they can almost sort of cut off third-party developers from producing non-licensed or non-interactive, shall we say, additions to the game. Right. Which is something we will be talking about a little bit later when we get to the spooky pinball section of this this pincast.
Yeah, okay. So now we get to the most interesting section.
Oh, you love it.
Yeah. So now we're going into the code updates, and it will be interesting to know, I think, that over the course of 2023, Stern did 94 code updates to current and previous games. And past games, I should say, mostly games, of course, in the Spike 2 system catalog. Mm. But still, 94 game code updates. And Martin is now going to tell you
all 94 of them.
All 94 of them, indeed. Where's my pillow?
I think 94 is probably a if it's accurate, it's misleading at best, because quite a lot of those were minor updates or just rolling out generic changes to things like pricing schemes for Scandinavian countries, for which they then had to roll out updates to 20 different models. So they call that 20 updates. Well, okay, you can do, but if you design your software properly, you wouldn't have to do that. Anyway, so new code this month, anyway. 21st December, James Bond 007. Almost version 1. This is version 0.99, so this was quite a big update. Lots of rule changes, added Spectre perks for completing a Spectre weapon, lots of new sound effects and video displays and bug fixes. Venom, 0.97 on the 19th of December. New quick doppelganger multiball, only on the premium area, of course, because they're the only games with the doppelganger mech. And a few changes to the action button, the way that works, and a bunch of fixes and more gameplay information on the screen, which is always welcome. Stranger Things, which is actually the 30th of November, but didn't come out until December. Version 1.11, minor changes to handle some of the new default settings, which didn't work properly before, but do now. Then Batman 66 had two updates, which were very minor. One fixed a potential reset issue, and the other one fixed a lighting issue. Iron Maiden also fixed a bug. So, you know, these are not huge updates, they're just minor updates, but it's a bug, so you might as well install it. And Monsters, yeah, remember that one? Yes. So 12th of December, there was a version 1.26, which fixed a bug which they introduced recently with the Ender Ball bonus not displaying correctly. And finally, wake up, Jonathan, version 1.57 of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out on the 12th of December, which fixed a bug with the reset option not appearing in the gameplay menu when it should have done. So, you know, not exactly groundbreaking or earth-shattering, are they?
But losing sleep over that last one, yes. That kept me up so much. I was like, how can they not fix it?
I know. It's awesome that they finally got to it. I mean, it's going to change the world. But anyway, that was a software update, and I think that pretty much rounds off our news from Stern Pinball.
Yeah, it does. But we're not done with new games.
Far from it.
Yeah, actually, we still have two more new titles to discuss, and these two were both released by Spooky Pinball from Benton, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And they just were announced right after we recorded our previous episode, which you can still listen back on Spotify, by the way, if you want to. But
yeah, it's very inconsiderate of them not to do it before we record it. But
it would have been nice to receive a press release or something like that. But apparently, Spooky has a different model. They have a very strong fan base where they probably they're not selling out all games immediately to their fan base, but they don't need the big exposure that Stern is going for. Obviously, that's two different leagues, but it's still very impressive what they are doing, don't get me wrong.
Yes, so to the details, they announced, basically did the same kind of thing they did with Halloween and Ultraman before, right, where they have a single playfield design, with changes to inserts and things and artwork, of course, to produce two different titles. Yep. And in this case, those two titles were the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Looney Tunes. Two more different themes. I think it would be hard pushed to find.
Yeah,
I think.
Very contradictionary
theme. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I say straight off that Texas Chainsaw Massacre is not a theme that appeals to me in the slightest. I'm aware of what it's about, and I'm not really into all these slasher horror movies. Looney Tunes, on the other hand, well, that's almost could have been named after me, really. But it's it seems to have
I don't think a game called Martin Ayer will sell that well.
Well, you know, you're just not trying, are you?
I mean, I can see why they named it Looney Tunes.
What kind of a defeatist attitude is that? So anyway, same layout, but very different themes and very different gameplay, and indeed, very different teams working on the two. So. Yeah. They got different software and artists, designers working on those titles. So they will end up, you know, not sharing the same basic code base at all.
Which makes me wonder, since the games are, I assume, wired the same way.
Because
the playfield is sort of identical, aside from different. Inserts and so, but technically, electronically, I suppose they're the same.
Yes. Yeah.
So I wonder, can you run Looney Tunes software on a Texas Chainsaw Massacre game?
You probably could. Yeah.
Or vice versa, and I'm not sure what would be the bigger scare.
Yeah, although I'm guessing that there are labels screen printed onto the playfield, or direct printed onto the playfield for various inserts, which wouldn't then make any sense if the software was not of the other game.
Right.
But I suspect you probably could, unless they deliberately decided to prohibit that.
Hmm.
But, you know, it's certainly been done in the past, hasn't it, with Family Guy and Shrek. You can swap the software over between those two games,
right.
Play Shrekly Guy or whatever, if that's what you wanted to do.
Right.
But just a novelty, that's all. And that was a licensed title as well, two licensed titles.
Right.
Whereas in this case, you've also got two licensed titles, and I suspect they probably wouldn't go to the effort of actually stopping you running the wrong code on it.
Right.
Anyway, there was a maximum of 888 units of each of those models available. That 888 is made up from three different levels. There's the standard edition, there's the Bloodsucker edition, and there's the collector's edition.
Right, and similar to previous spooky titles,
mm-hmm.
They're not limiting a certain model to a certain number. No, the total number of games divided over those three levels is 888. So that means if they sell 888 collector's editions, then none of the other models will be made, but
mm-hmm.
because they're limited to that number, or, well, basically any configuration of
any mixture of those three models of totals a maximum of 888 are available. Basically, buy the model you want, and don't worry about them not being available unless they're close to the maximum. If you wanted to get any of those, then the prices of those are $8,300 US dollars for the standard, $9,000 for the Bloodsucker, and $9,700 for the collector's edition. So basically $700 difference between each of the three levels.
Yeah.
If you wanted to get any of those, you can go through your distributor, or you can go to Spooky. In order to get any of those, you need to pay a non-refundable deposit of $1,000, $1,500 or $2,000, depending on which of the models you went for. Launch took place in December. There was start of December. There was a lot of media available at that time, with promo videos, all the feature matrices. A bit lacking on photos of the games themselves.
Yeah,
the high res photos, didn't really see much out there. There's some videos, but And Looney Tunes particularly didn't seem to have much available at the start, but that seemed to follow up fairly quickly afterwards. So they caught up with that. I wonder if that's maybe the least developed of the two at launch time.
Not sure, but I did see that Spooky, at least the playfields came in, or a mm-hmm. part of the playfields for both titles, so they are close to starting production of the games, if they haven't already started. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's games or cabinets set up, so I assume...
I think they have started, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think Spooky actually posted on Facebook saying that they've reached a milestone in their history where they had four different titles in production at the same time, which were Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Looney Tunes, the end of the Total Nuclear Annihilation run as well, which also sold out eventually, and of course they're still making Scooby-Doo Where Are You games. So right. they had all those four in production simultaneously, which they're very proud of, and rightly so, I think. Yeah, it's great that they've got an operation which can support that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, most recent news from Spooky Pinball is that they revealed an interactive topper for Scooby-Doo Where Are You?
Yeah.
A sliding bookcase which reveals a portrait LCD monitor which shows interactive clips, special display animation, and a topper exclusive video mode. And it's all integrated into gameplay, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that topper is available for $969 plus shipping. And can be ordered through distributors, ideally from the distributor where you bought the game in the first place.
Yes, assuming you're still the owner of the game, the original owner, I should say, of the game.
Yeah. There's a bunch of features that it does. I'm not sure. Should we go over those?
It's worth mentioning that it's got some exclusive artwork on it. Officially, of course, licensed artwork for the topper from Brad Duke. As you mentioned, the sliding bookcase and the video screen. Yeah, I don't think we need to cover all the details of it.
It was a very nice idea. The sliding bookcase actually reveals the LCD screen, so at first you don't see it, and then it slides open and it reveals the LCD screen, which gives you a very interactive topper, I should say.
Yeah, well, actually, it includes a custom video mode that's only available if you have the topper.
Yeah, so that's. If you remember, Shoot the Dog from Junkyard. It reminded me of that.
I wasn't sure whether you meant to shoot Scooby or avoid shooting Scooby and shoot the ghosts in the background. But either way, yeah, use the flipper buttons to fire Scooby Snacks, one would assume, around Scooby as the in the video mode. So anyway, it's. It's something we've seen added before into Toppers, but I think it's the first for Spooky to actually have a new mode that directly ties in to having a topper installed.
Right. So, personally, I look forward very much to playing Looney Tunes.
Hmm.
And I'll take your word for it that Texas Chainsaw Massacre will be quite as much as fun if you're into that type of... theme. Personally, I'm not. No offense. It's just not my cup of tea.
No, quite right. Yeah, or bucket of blood. Quite right.
So that covers all the news that we have for Spooky Pinball for December and the beginning of January. And let's move on to Pedretti Gaming in Italy.
Well, you say Pedretti Gaming, but we might have a little news on that a bit later in this pincast. But, so our third headline was all about them, and the fact that they have announced, or have in conjunction with Planetary Pinball Supply, that they are going to be doing remakes of, full remakes, of existing Bally Williams titles in the same way that Chicago Gaming have been doing up until now, and of course Haggis as well.
Right.
Been making older ones, but We don't know whether they're going to be making more recent electronic games or older older solid-state type games.
Well, they could even be making electromechanicals,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to go out that far, but...
No, yeah, but they could.
They could. They've previously been making 2.0 kits for Funhouse and Whirlwind.
Right.
Of course.
Which we reported on, of course, and
you know. Yeah, and of course they're not alone in doing that, because Dutch Pinball did that with the Bryder Pinball 2.0, and Cardona as well, who we've also mentioned, have done that. And there was somebody else. Mirko, of course, as well, did it with the Tales of the Arabian Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now they've moved up to a whole new level, and are going to be remaking complete games, and they're going to be doing this using their combined facility that they set up with the Pinball Brothers, called Euro Pinball Corporation, in Italy, which is where Pedretti are based, of course. And but that joint venture with Pinball Brothers is going to be remaking these older Bally Williams games,
right? And that same joint venture is also building the Pinball Brothers games, currently Alien and Queen, which makes you wonder if there isn't a conflict of interest.
Well, it is interesting that they will effectively be building games that will compete against Pinball Brothers games in the market. I suppose Pinball Brothers have been making games which kind of compete alongside Pedretti's kits, I suppose, as well. That's been happening in the past already, and they've got on quite well with that, so it hasn't been a problem. Right. And of course, because
I can see a potential soap opera.
Yes, it's getting a bit complicated because, you know, the manufacturing company is part owned by Pinball Brothers, we believe. It's certainly a joint venture with them, so they will stand to gain from sales of machines made by Pedretti.
Exactly. So while they're competing, they're also profiting from each other.
Yes, that's right. So I don't know. I guess it will work quite well one way or the other. Now, under this new deal, Pedretti will be building the games, we say, using Euro Pinball Corp for manufacturing facilities. They will have to use the Fast Pinball control system, just as they had to do with Funhouse and Whirlwind Total Chaos. That's part of the licensing agreement with Planetary Pinball, that they use that system. They are supposedly going to be announcing one new title a year. Of course, they're announcing and making very different things, but they plan to announce a new remake title every year, with the first taking place this year, well, being announced this year, and apparently they've been working on that remake throughout 2023. So it should be well formed when it actually is announced. Whether they're actually manufacturing any of them, we don't know.
Right.
But anyway, this year we can look forward to a new remake from Pedretti Gaming, as well as potential remakes from other companies.
Right. Now, and we did discover something that could be interesting, and maybe it could be nothing, right? So, Pedretti is officially known as Pedretti Gaming, but 6 days after they made the announcement of this new collaboration with Planetary Pinball, they changed their logo from Pedretti Gaming to Pedretti Pinball.
Yeah, that was on Facebook, I believe. I don't know if they've done it anywhere else.
Not on their Instagram account. No,
that didn't have their logo on anyway. I don't think I had their Whirlwind Total Chaos game on there as their profile picture.
Yeah,
but certainly Pedretti Pinball now seems to be a thing, whereas before it was always Pedretti Gaming. So. But maybe that's a new division of Pedretti Gaming, is Pedretti Pinball. As part of their licensing agreement, they will be selling a lot more Williams Bally licensed spare parts of the type that Planetary Pinball produce or license, while Planetary Pinball themselves will become a US distributor for all Euro Pinball Corporation games, including Pinball Brothers titles. So Pinball Brothers getting another distributor in the US out of that. So, yeah, sounds like quite a nice little package they've wrapped up there. That makes a lot of sense. But I have to wonder whether the sort of lack of games coming out of Chicago Gaming's deal with Planetary Pinball, in particular the Cactus Canyon games, whether that's frustrated Planetary Pinball and push them into making deals with other companies, or that they might be working on deals with other manufacturers that we don't know about yet.
Well, obviously, Planetary is the license holder of Bally Williams games. They got the license from
Scientific Gaming, as it was.
Exactly. So it is basically their job, or in their best interest, to find parties to use that catalog and build on it.
Yeah, so no use licensing to somebody who doesn't produce any games, because one would assume that they get a payment per game manufactured, and if they're not manufacturing them, then Planetary aren't getting any income. So,
yeah,
so better to team up with somebody who is.
Yeah, well, obviously, Chicago Gaming never had an exclusive, I suppose. Neither did Haggis, and neither does Pedretti. So,
no.
Basically, there's a catalog out there with titles that anybody can license, so to speak, or upgrade and release in collaboration with Planetary, if you're into that. So,
and of course, Planetary, from then, it introduced a little competition into the sub licensing market, because if, say, somebody wanted to produce, I don't know, pick a title out of the thin air, Twilight Zone,
right,
for instance, then maybe Planetary could ask Chicago Gaming, do you want to make this? And they go yes. And they ask Pedretti, do you want to make this? And they go yes. And then they have a bidding process. So who's going to give the greatest commission to Planetary,
right,
in order to do that? So it'd be good for them in that regard, but not necessarily good for the buyers. But
yeah,
anyway,
well, pinball isn't a hobby for poor people anymore.
No, it's not, as we've seen, and as we've mentioned earlier, I mean, all the numbers we've been bandying around. But anyway, so that's good news, anyway, and more games coming out, and a new collaboration.
Yeah, so now while we were, and I'm going to mess up your order here, but while we were
talking, I have an order?
And while we were talking about Pedretti Gaming, who is obviously collaborating with Pinball Brothers, let's see if there's any news from Pinball Brothers to report.
Well, yes. I think we mentioned last month that a new version of the Alien Code would be coming out imminently. It took a few more days than we were expecting, but it came out on the 5th of December. Version 4.0, which added all the Ellen Ripley assets into the game for existing Pinball Brothers Alien game owners. Doesn't roll back into the Highway Pinball game. And, added a lot of audio and video throughout the game. Also, changed a few minor other things like pop bumper scoring and some new rules for mystery awards and some changes to the test menu and bug fixes and a match sequence at the end has changed as well. And I mean, added. I don't think it existed before, but I thought it did. But apparently, in their release notes, they say that they've added it at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that version 4.0 definitely worth adding to anybody who owns a Pinball Brothers version of the Alien game and hasn't installed it yet.
Right. Okay. So, and that was all the news for.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've been showing pictures of stacks of games being sent off to I think to Nitro Pinball in Canada. And then there's some more games being sent off to another destination. I can't remember exactly who that was at that time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was all from the Euro Pinball Corp collaboration that we've just been talking about. So games are being churned out and shipped off around the world.
Great. Okay. Now, back to the US. Jersey Jack Pinball, obviously building Elton John games at the moment.
Yes, but their previous title, The Godfather, limited edition machine, was raffled off at Pinball Expo. If you were there, you probably would have seen that. And that helped raise $10,000. I don't know how that compares to the price of a Godfather limited edition, probably around about the value of it. And 100% of those proceeds were donated this month to the Anne and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. I think we mentioned about that taking place before, and how it had a special place in the heart of the game designer Eric Meunier. Well, he was there to present them with a huge check for that $10,000, which they were obviously hugely grateful. But there's some good news if you missed out on that, because there'll be another machine, this time an Elton John Platinum Edition, which is going to be raffled in the same way at the Texas Pinball Festival in March. And this time the proceeds are going to the National Video Game Museum, which is very close to the Texas Pinball Festival host hotel in Frisco in Texas. Tickets for that are only available to purchase at the show. And the winner must apparently be present to win it.
So
only if you're going to the show, then, in that case.
Yeah. So, okay.
So,
any other...
There's your opportunity to win a nice Elton John.
Right.
Yep.
Any other...
that's all I've got.
That's all you got. Okay. So,
that's all I've got from Jersey Jack.
Yeah. Okay. No, there's more.
Is there?
Ooh. Yeah. We mentioned EAG Expo, which is next week in London.
Ah, yes, good point.
Yeah, and I have a good source informing me that Jack Guarnieri will be present at the EAG Expo in London. So,
yes, I believe he will be on the Pinball Heaven stand there, Pinball Heaven being the UK distributor for Jersey Jack Pinball Games. And, Jack will be there to meet and greet and tell you all about the process of bringing the Elton John game to market. And, of course, you'll have the opportunity to play it as well, if you haven't already.
Right. Okay. So, and that does round up our... our Jersey Jack coverage for December. Like I mentioned, they are busy building and selling, of course, Elton John games. And if you haven't got one, then go to the Jersey Jack Pinball website and find out how you can get one.
Yeah, and play one first, I would say, because you probably blow your socks off, I think.
Yeah, this is a game and now I'm just talking from a personal point of view. Theme-wise, you think, or I thought, and then you play it and you're like, wow, didn't see that one coming. I said it before, I'll say it again, I didn't expect that game to be so much fun.
Great. Well, I look forward to playing it in London in a couple of, less than 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. So, now, speaking of fun.
Oh, very good. Yes. Yeah, it's almost like there's a script for this.
Barrels of Fun in Houston, Texas. I need to rectify something. In our previous podcast, as well as in the Pinball Magazine newsletter, I reported that the CoinTaker website stated that production of Barrels of Fun's Labyrinth will begin in April 2024. That info is completely incorrect, and I apologize for that, even though Martin found it.
Yes.
But we reported that. Yeah, no, but that is incorrect. I got an email from Brian Savage and David Finesse, I believe, and some other people from... Barrels of Fun telling me The game is already in production, and there's photos of the game being in production, widely available on their Facebook page. So games were in production mid-December, and they continue to build them. So we apologize for that information being incorrect.
I've just checked, and CoinTaker's website now says production started October 2023.
Right, okay, so it's good that they reached out and corrected that. And mm-hmm. We're sorry that we interpreted that information while it was incorrect, and we thought it was correct. So.
Yep, there you go. Don't believe everything you read. But you can believe everything you hear, which is a good thing.
And if it's not correct, we'll tell you afterwards anyway.
Yes, we will we'll certainly rectify any errors we might have made unintentionally. But carrying on with Barrels of Fun and the labyrinth game, there was a very nice making of video on YouTube on Adam Savage's Tested YouTube channel. It's the name of a program or a series that he produces. I can't quite remember whether Adam Savage was one of those who was going to be working on the game which was going to be following Predator. Masters of Danger. Oh no, Experts of Danger or something like that. Yeah, that one. Dangerous. Experts are dangerous. That was it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Crash dummies or stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sure he was one of the duo who were presenting that. Anyway, he has his own YouTube channel and a program called Tested, where he was visiting Barrels of Fun. And he was talking with Johnny Fraser Allen and David Van Ness about the creation and the concept and development of the Labyrinth game.
Yeah, highly recommended to watch that if you're interested in seeing how the game developed, early sketches and how that developed into the full game with very very interesting artwork changes into what it finally eventually became.
Mm. So so have a look on YouTube for Adam Savage's Tested, and I'm sure you will find the video. Otherwise, I'm sure Jonathan will include it in his monthly newsletter.
Already did.
Sign up to it if you haven't already.
Thank you for the plug. I already did. It's in the December edition, which actually went out mid-December. I was quite late because I have other things to do as well.
Really? Outrageous.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sorry. I have a life. I can't help it.
Well, we'll soon put a stop to that. Okay. Now we know. So let's move back to your own home country then, and tell us what's been going on over at Dutch Pinball.
Well, the most important news, of course, and I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I'm not sure I mentioned it actually last month.
I think it was imminent. If you hadn't mentioned it already.
For those not knowing, I had a Big Lebowski on order since probably Pinball Expo 2014, when the game was officially announced. As we all know, Dutch Pinball had a rough path getting to where they are now, causing a delay in the production of what is known as early achiever production games. But I finally got mine. It took 8 years, but I got it.
You did? Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, and that also means that the early achiever run is almost done. And that's now only a matter of months. And then you can say, well, 12 months is also. But I think we're talking about, like, hopefully, for Dutch Pinball, 2 to 3 months, maybe 4. That doesn't mean that the production of the Big Lebowski is done, because they're still selling the regular models or edition.
Brand new orders, yeah.
Yeah, brand new orders are coming in. And they will continue building the Big Lebowski throughout 2024. I talked to Barry earlier today. Basically, I asked him, if the license is expiring, are they going to renew it? And he told me the license will expire at the end of 2024. And at the moment, it's highly unlikely that they will renew that license. So if you're in the market for a Big Lebowski, make sure that you order one in time so they can still build it.
Before the end of the year.
Yes, exactly. So, and there's more news from the Spinball that nobody knows yet.
Well, so I'm not sure we should tell anybody, should we? Go on then. Yeah.
Barry told me that, and this is quite interesting, they got a second building across the street from where they are now. I can't get into the specifics of what that building will be used for, other than it has a lot more office space, which means that all the offices from the current Dutch Pinball building will be moving to across the street.
Mm-hmm.
The current building will be mainly focusing on production of Dutch Pinball games.
Ooh.
And
you're suggesting the second building won't be.
Well, they have an intention for the second building, and they will be announcing or revealing that in their own time. And I respect that, so I will not be telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
It will be interesting, though.
So, okay, but the second building is not all office space.
No, there is also production space, yes.
Right. Okay, but they'll free up more production space by moving their offices out of the current building.
Right, so they're basically scaling up production. They're also scaling up staff, hiring more and more people.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, with the Big Lebowski potentially expiring, or the license for that, potentially expiring at the end of this year, mm-hmm. they're going to need to announce or start production of their next title.
Yep.
Yep,
at some point, my guess would be, and this is just a guess, I think earlier Barry or we even indicated that Dutch Pinball would be announcing their next title after the summer of 2024. My guess is that's likely going to be late 2024 or early 2025.
Right
now. Okay. So, and that's no speculation, but that's the best way I can put it.
Yep. Okay. Well, we will update that as we get more information from Barry and the Dutch Pinball team, I suppose, as we get to see them at various points throughout the year.
Yeah, that sort of ramps it up for Dutch Pinball for now. But it's not like they're not working on something. They're working on something, and we can't discuss it yet.
Yep, that time will come. Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It will be interesting, I can tell you that.
I'm sure. Everything about them is. That's good. Okay, so let's... we have a whole bunch of companies where there isn't much in the way of news, but let's just stay in Europe for a moment and completely trash our order of games, which is only loosely, which is only loosely put together, and move over to France, where Hexa Pinball have been posting some pictures. They shared some pictures of seven of their Space Hunt games in various stages of production.
Right.
Which suggests that they are manufacturing them at some speed, and building them, and building seven of them at least at the moment. They did do a tutorial and a gameplay video as well for the game, for Space Hunt. That was, which was interesting. You could see the game being played and the modes working. It was in French though.
Most of it, yes. Most of it was in French, but
it did say it was in French and English. I didn't hear any particular English bits, and
maybe cursing.
Yes, probably, and using the YouTube auto translate function only provided a certain amount of information.
Right.
It's not quite up there yet, but it was interesting anyway. I'm sure you can glean a lot from it if you haven't already seen gameplay or indeed played the game yourself, the Space Hunt. So have a look on Hexa Pinball on YouTube, and you can catch that tutorial and gameplay video.
Yeah, and the link is already in the December edition of the Pinball Magazine newsletter that Martin mentioned earlier.
Fantastic. You're really on the ball.
Thank you, Think.
talking about new games and European manufacturers, I did mention we've talked about STR Pinball in the past.
That's not really a manufacturer.
Well, not really, but they have been fairly dormant of late, but it does look like they are working on a new custom game with an LCD display.
Really?
Yeah, but there's no information yet on what the theme for that is going to be, or it hasn't been announced, I put it that way. But we'll keep an eye on that and see if that turns into a thing, going back to Adam's family. If it does, we will bring you details of it in our future pincasts.
Right, okay. So looking at their... they are apparently working on something.
See, well, I lied to you. Intentionally. Yeah. Unless I thought I could get away with it. Yes.
Right. So, but while we're in Europe, no news from Quetzal Pinball.
No.
Or Bitronic, for that matter, who are supposed to be taking a new Quetzal title into production.
Yeah, Tokyo Perfect Drift, I think you mean, yes. That one, yeah. We were waiting for that, and I think we both know someone who put an order in for that a long time ago and is still waiting for it.
I would say he's waiting until he's old and grey, but he already is.
Oh, well, I've got nothing to lose then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, that's Haggis Pinball, Australia, also no news. And the same goes for Homepin in Taiwan. And I'm afraid it's probably not the nicest thing to say because I wish them well. But with Chinese New Year coming up, this probably means that the next 3 months there's no news either.
Yeah, everything will be shut down. I think we can confidently predict that.
Yeah. So there was also no news from Chicago Gaming. But there was some news from Cardona Pinball that you discovered.
Yes. Well, I'm in the middle of reviewing their Black Rose Skull and Bones kit, which I will go back and finish that in a week's time. And you'll be able to read all about that, of course, on Pinball News. But they have brought out a new speaker panel decal for their No Good Gophers Battle for the Green kit. So, obviously, that goes on a No Good Gophers game, which had a pretty plain black Williams speaker panel. Mm-hmm. So now you can get a decal for that if you happen to have the Battle for the Green kit installed.
It's not just plain green in the same color as the grass on the back glass, that it basically continues.
No, I think it definitely contains the characters from the Battle for the Green kit on it as well, and the title, I think, too. Okay. Of the game, so if you have that kit, then that might be something that would be nice. A bit late for Christmas present, but you can give a late Christmas present to yourself. Right. In that case, okay. So staying over that side of them, we can give a little news and a bit of a shout out to the team at Multimorphic, because Jerry put out a message at the end of the year message saying. Thanks to a mammoth effort from the production team, so they brought their lead times on new P3 games down to just 1 month. So
that is very good, because that used to be like 6 months or even more.
Yeah, or a year. Yeah. But they've been putting a lot of effort into getting those P3 games, the base machines, built. And explain how they have different... production queues for the individual game modules themselves, the Heist and Weird Al and all those ones, and Final Resistance. If you buy that as a separate kit to add into your existing game, that's one line. But if you buy a base machine with that installed, that's a different line, and that's right. What brought down to 1 month lead time. And says you can basically choose to receive your P3 with any or all of the currently available games within a month now. So, congratulations to everybody at Multimorphic in that huge push to cut that lead time down.
Yeah, so, and there's some unofficial rumors. I mean, well, rumors are always unofficial, of course. do mention Multimorphic as being the company behind the Princess Bride pinball that we...
we spoke about several times.
Yeah, we talked about it. And they sent out a Happy New Year emailing, which I'm not sure you got.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, it contained a close-up picture of a playfield detail of what the game is supposed to be, apparently. I didn't dig into the rumor that much, but what I understood is that... I don't even remember who, but some people... dug into the IP address that from where the website or where the domain was registered, which appeared to be the same host as Multimorphic is registered or something like that, giving an or making them conclude that Multimorphic could be behind the Princess Bride pinball.
Okay, well...
Then again, if you would like to put people, or leave people with the wrong impression, what you could do is register your domain with the same host as some other pinball company does, pick one, or there's plenty to choose from, and people will be thinking it might be that company, and I'm not exactly sure I got it correctly right now, but I, from what I briefly read, that's how... that rumor sort of started.
Right,
it still remains to be seen whether it is actually going to be a Multimorphic title, but we do know that Multimorphic is working on a licensed title for their next game.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at the picture that they sent with their Happy Holidays email, which is of a captive ball placed underneath a sculpted hut, it looks like, next to an artwork ramp, which is interesting because it looks like the whole of the metal ramp is wrapped in artwork, which I think would be a new feature. I don't think I've seen that, and you have to wonder how well it will hold up to a ball being shot up it repeatedly.
Right.
But anyway, it's a bit early to jump to too many conclusions on that. But I thought I'd checked out who the domain was registered to when it was first announced, but I thought it was with a sort of a masked address from the registrar.
Wasn't the Iceland based.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. You're quite right. Yes, but it was a hosting company who's I'm surprised if Multimorphic using an Icelandic hosting company.
Or maybe my source was completely incorrect, or I misunderstood what was being said, and I should have read it better.
Wow! We'll find out, and if it turns out not to be the case, we will of course correct it. But it's, in the meantime, it's all good fun, but just speculation.
Right. So, and a rumor, as I indicated. So, and we don't do rumors, but we do report on rumors if there are factual. If it's a fact that there is a rumor going around.
Yeah, I kind of got that. So no news from Turner Pinball this month.
No.
We do expect to see them at Texas Show in March.
Yeah, it's still a couple of months away.
Yeah. Pinball Adventures, though, they did post on Instagram that they had six Punny Factory games in...
Six?
They had produced, I should say. They had made six Punny Factory games in the few days before Christmas, and were planning to build another 14 by the end of the year.
Wow. Wait a second. So they posted right before Christmas, and then there's 5 days left, and they expect to build 14 games in the remaining 5 days of the year.
Well, it did seem somewhat optimistic, shall we say, to get 14 games built in that time.
Optimistic seems to be the key word with Pinball Adventures.
Well, I don't know what what the build process actually is. You know, they might have already had all the cabinets made up and the playfields populated and just needed to put together a few bits and pieces in order to build a game.
Right.
You know, so in which case, doing a 14 in, I don't know, in a week might be achievable. You're just slotting playfields into cabinets.
Or maybe Santa's little helper started helping out.
Right? Ah, good. Yes, very nice. Very seasonal. Yes. well.
So anyway, good. Wow, 6 Pony Factory games. Woohoo!
Already.
Yeah, already. Hold the press.
And 20 in total. So there you go. That's just what they reported anyway on their feed.
I know companies where that's a prototype run.
Oh dear. Well, yes, I'm not going to say any more. Now,
there was also no news from our good friend David Fix at American Pinball.
No, absolutely. He spilt the beans last month on our pincast and told us everything there is to
come. He didn't clean
them
up either. He just left them there. He spilled the beans and that was it. Yeah.
Hell of a mess. But there's no extra news this month over and above what he told us last month. So
we are expecting David Fix, sort of, or we had heard rumors, or he told us himself, or told you, I don't remember, that he might be at EAG Expo. We hope he will be, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yes, I think it was depending on whether Pinball Heaven would have a stand there, and they have. So he may turn up. We'll let you know. So
next
that's
month.
Yes, that's right. All the in fact, in our reports from the show, I'm sure, which will probably come out before that. But there is other news this month.
Well,
not just about the pinball manufacturers, because a big announcement was made that Pinburg, the huge tournament that used to be a massive part of the Replay FX show in Pittsburgh, before the whole thing was cancelled, due to COVID, and then it was permanently cancelled, never to return. Well, it's returning. Well, Pinburg is anyway. And it's returning on the 24th to 28th of July this year. And it's going to be held at the Resonine Esports facility in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, just outside Pittsburgh.
Does that mean there's going to be virtual pinball?
You'd think with a name like that, but no. Apparently, it's more like a kind of an arena area where they play esports. But that's where physical Pinburg is going to be. It's not going to be a huge event like Replay FX was, and it's limited to just 120 players. And we'll have smaller cash prizes, but it's still going to be a big tournament with a series of pre-tournaments, I'm sure, at neighbouring venues. So if you go to Pinburg, pinburgh.com/2024, you can find out all more details about it. When I made these notes, I checked the pinburg.com site, and it didn't have a link to the 2024 event at that time. It may have popped up by now, but if it hasn't, then just add /2024 on the end, and that will get you to all the details about when registration is going to open. As I said, only 120 players are going to be able to take part in it, so you want to be in there quick when registration opens. Other news. Well, I hear you ask. Yes.
Is there more other news, boys?
Oh, I do hear you ask. Good. Now, we've had this a few times, but there's going to be a new attempt to break the Guinness World Record for continuous pinball playing.
Seems like more and more people are attempting.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's more and more achievable. And this one is actually coming up in just 5 days' time, 6 days' time, on January the 11th. Taking place at the Pinball Garage in Hamilton, Ohio, USA, and is being attempted by Jim Foliano. Jim is going to be playing the Avengers Infinity Quest. Normally they have two machines set up in case one breaks down, so you can swap over to it. But having seen this happen before, the current record is 62 hours, 21 minutes. It's held by Andrew Robbieshaw of Lakeland in Florida. That was made fairly recently, actually, in September, between the September the 1st and 3rd of 2023. So you will be able to watch along with Jim as he attempts to break that record. That will be on starting on January the 11th. So we will try and bring you a link for the stream of that, so you can send Jim your support via messaging, and see how he gets on. So got to beat 62 hours and 21 minutes. So that's best part of 3 days. So we're finishing on the starting at 9 p.m. local time.
I might be drifting off a little bit here, but if people are, in general, so to speak, attempting to break a record and not sleeping for, in this case, like 62 hours or more, do they get drug tested?
you do actually sleep, because, as I understand it, unless the rules have changed, I think for every hour of play that you do, you're allowed 5 minutes of break, and you're allowed to build those 5 minutes up into a block, which you can then take as like an hour once you've got 12 of them. So you're allowed breaks, and you can sleep for short periods of time, but it's still a pretty grueling endurance to undertake, I think.
Right. No, I mean, I couldn't dream of staying up awake for...
Well, you wouldn't be if you were dreaming.
No, well, that too, but with all the travelling that I do, occasionally we hit that I'm up for 24 hours or so. Mm. That's already taking its toll, so to speak.
Yeah.
Can't imagine staying up for 3 days.
No, well, as I say, you do get short breaks, but I guess after my memory says it's something like 5 minutes for every hour, but it may not be that much. But you can put them together and maybe take an hour's sleep every day out of that.
I've heard stories of people doing certain drugs and staying up for 5 days in a row. So.
Oh, okay.
But then again, if you get drug tested, then you're cheating.
Yeah, well, it depends what qualifies as drugs. You know, if you're drinking lots of coffee and getting caffeined up, is that an illegal drug in this sense? Anyway, we don't know, and we will bring you news of how that world record attempt went in next month's Pinkcast.
And best of luck, of course, to Jim in. His attempt, and don't take any of my advice in doing that or whatever, but I'm just curious, like, I mean, I wouldn't be able to do it even if I wanted to.
It's quite an achievement if he manages it. So
yeah.
So anyway,
is there more news, Mark?
There's a bit of news which you discovered, I believe, about the Who's Tommy.
Yes. Actually, that came in today. The Who's Tommy reimagined by Pete Townsend, who, guitar player of The Who, of course, and Desk McKenneth, will be starting a new run on Broadway in the Nederlander Theater.
In New York.
In New York. Preview performances will begin March 8th, and the premiere or opening night is on March 28th of this year. So it might be worthwhile to if we're going to Texas, and to do a transfer in New York and maybe
Have a stop over there,
catch a few burning pinball machines.
Well, I would hope that no pinballs were harmed in the making of the Who's Tommy reimagined, right. At least. But it would be interesting.
Pete Townsend is involved in how many guitars from Pete Townsend do you know that are still in one piece?
Well, most of them have been glued back together again and put on eBay. But anyway, but I understand what you're saying. Yes, has an appetite for destruction. shall we say.
Yeah, although that's a different band. But
it
still.
Is a different band, yes. Yes.
So anyway, yeah, that's let me see if there's a website that you can go to. I got an email, so there must be some link in there. Let me take a quick look.
Okay.
And, while I do that, please do tell me all about the Pinball Awards and what have you.
Well, yes, one of the things we won't be seeing when we go to Texas Pinball Festival is the annual Twippy Awards, because the ceremony for those has been dropped as part of a whole series of nonsense about people getting upset about pinball awards not being awarded, or categories being cancelled. So anyway, the Trippy Awards were dropped. Then the award show, media categories, I should say, for the Trippy Awards were dropped. And then the whole award show at the Texas Pinball Festival was cancelled. Then, by a totally unrelated coincidence, the other awards, the Pinball Industry Awards, they've also been cancelled for this year due to lack of time and effort to make a fulsome presentation ceremony. So that's been cancelled. Anyway, lots of people got upset, lots of threats and counter-threats, and in the end, it was all a storm in a teacup and all over nothing. And the upshot is there won't be any pinball awards presented from either the Twippies or the Pinball Industry Awards this year. So right. If you're looking forward to those, then it's not going to happen. And it also means that Jonathan and myself have got a rather large gap to fill on Saturday evening with our quiz.
Well, unless we move back to the 6 p.m. slot on Friday evening, which used to be our slot anyway, opening the show with our pinball quiz.
Because
there's no reason to not do it on Friday.
Well, we were kind of like the warm-up act for the awards recently, but that's not happening. Well, we'll see how it fits into the Texas Pinball Festival scheduled seminar, and I'm sure we'll be happy to work with Paul and the other organisers on that to make it all happen.
I did find a teaser link, but that's just a downloadable video that's probably also on YouTube. I didn't find a specific website for that Tommy Reimagined musical. But we can tell you who are the lead or the principal casting.
And I bet you've never heard of any of them.
That is indeed true. Yes, so we have I wouldn't say in random order. We have Ali Louis Bourgeois as Tom Walker.
That's easy for you to say.
We have Alison Luff as Mrs. Walker. We have Adam Jacobs as Captain Walker. Almost sounds like a drink. John Ambrosino as Uncle Ernie. He's doing all the dirty stuff, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I think so. And
Bobby Conte is Cousin Kevin. Good. Yeah. I'm sure you've seen all his work.
Well.
And we have Christina Sajous, who is the Acid Queen.
Okay, well, that's a Tina Turner role. I think we'll probably stop you at that point. I can happen to mention that if you go to TommyTheMusical.com, you will see where it says Broadway previews begin on March the 8th, and as a link to book tickets for that. It's Monday. Sunday is dark, but all the other days are there are performances. And two on Saturdays.
Well, since we're press, we'll probably get an invite anyway to do a review, right?
I'd be devastated if we weren't. Yeah. Okay, so that, I think, kind of rounds us up for the month of December 2023 and the start of January 2024.
Yeah. So enjoy Stern's Shark Week while you still can.
Yes, because indeed.
They will be bombing you with more images of Jaws the upcoming days.
Ain't that the truth.
Model. Yeah.
And apart from that, we will see you at the start of February with our next Pincast, looking back at, of course, all the fun and excitement through the first month of 2024, what's left of it. And, of course, we'll also have some news from EAG and in our respective publications and in our Pincast. Mm-hmm. So I think until then, we both hope you have a fantastic 2024. And we look forward to joining you every month throughout it with our regular Pindermill Industry News Pincast.
And occasionally a bonus Pincast with special guests.
You bet, whenever we can. So until the next one, we wish you a fantastic year, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.